Mosques. The oldest mosque of the world is Bayt al-Haram. It was built by Abraham sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The founder of the Jerusalem mosque is Dawud sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While the mosque at Medina was built by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all these three mosques carry unique significance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that it is towards these three mosques that people can travel to pay homage to them and to pray in them. Praying in these mosques earns great reward. Consequently, about the Bayt al-Haram, he is reported to have said that praying in it is 100,000 times more rewarding than praying elsewhere. And about his mosque at Medina, he has said that praying in it is 1,000 times more rewarding than praying in any other mosque except the Bayt al-Haram. Apart from these, all mosques of the world, built or yet to be built, have equal status with regard to the reward they earn for a believer who prays in them. These mosques are not made for trade, entertainment, or merrymaking. They are reserved for the worship of the Almighty. The dearest of buildings in the sight of Allah are these mosques. Waiting for the prayer time in them is like praying itself. The farther people come to these places for worship, the more the reward they earn. The etiquette of coming to the mosques, which is mentioned in narratives, is that when a person comes to the mosque, he should offer 2 rak'ah before sitting down, unless something prevents him to do so. This etiquette is greatly emphasized in various narratives. Moreover, it has also been narrated that when the Prophet ﷺ would enter the mosque, he would seek the refuge of the Almighty in the following words: I seek refuge with Allah the Almighty, the Benevolent, the Eternal King from the accursed Satan. Reference Abu Dawud, Sunan, Volume 1, 124, number 466. It is also narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, when anyone among you enters a mosque, he should say, O God, open for me the doors of your mercy. And when he leaves it, he should say, O God, I seek from you your blessings. Rectifying mistakes in the prayer. In case a person makes a mistake or thinks that he has made a mistake, in the utterances and practices of the prayer, the amendment prescribed as a sunnah is that if amends can be made for the mistake, then they should be made, and 2 prostrations, called prostrations in lieu of a mistake, should be offered before ending the prayer. And if making amends is not possible, then only the prostration should be offered. Following are the details of the incidents which occurred during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ in which such prostrations were offered. Ibn Buhayna says that once the Prophet ﷺ led our Dhuhr prayer, but did not sit down after the first 2 rak'ah, and stood up for the 3rd rak'ah. People also stood up with him, until the time when the prayer was about to end and the people were waiting for the salam to be said. The Prophet ﷺ uttered the takbir, and before saying the salam, offered 2 prostrations and then said the salam. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 195, numbers 1224 and 1225, and Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 229-230, number 1269. It is narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu that once when the Prophet ﷺ led the Dhuhr congregational prayer, he prayed 5 rak'ah. He was asked, has the prayer been lengthened? He replied, what happened? The people declared that he had prayed 5 rak'ah. At this, the Prophet ﷺ turned his feet while sitting and faced the Qibla and then offered 2 prostrations and then said the salam. Then he turned towards the people and said, if some new directive had been revealed about the prayer, I would have told you. The fact is that I am a human being like you. I also forget the way you do. So when I forget, remind me and remember that if any of you has any doubt in the prayer, he should ascertain what is the right course, and then complete his prayer according to it, say the salam, and then offer 2 prostrations. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed 2 rak'ah for the Dhuhr or the Asr prayer, and then said the salam. There was a wood lying in the front portion of the mosque. He went and rested against it in a state of slight anger. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu too were present there, but were not able to speak because of great respect for him. In the meantime, some impetuous people came out from the mosque and started saying that the prayer has been reduced. At this, a person called Dhu al-Yadain mustered some courage and went over to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him, did you forget or has the prayer been shortened? The Prophet ﷺ replied, I have neither forgotten nor has the prayer been shortened. Something has happened, O Messenger of God? He continued. The Prophet ﷺ asked for corroboration from the people. They also declared similarly. So the Prophet ﷺ prayed 2 more rak'ah and then turned to say the salam and then said the takbir. then offered a prostration, consuming his routine time for it, or increased the time a little, then raised his head and said the takbir, then said the takbir, and then offered a prostration, consuming his routine time for it, or increased the time a little. He then raised his head and said the takbir. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 196, number 1229, and Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 232, number 1288. Imran ibn Hussein says that the Prophet ﷺ prayed the Asr prayer and after three rak'ah, turned to say the salam and then went over to his room. A person called Khirbak, who had very long hands, told him of this. He came out in anger, dragging his cloak behind him, and asked the people, "Is he telling the truth?" When they confirmed it, the Prophet ﷺ prayed one more rak'ah, then turned to say the salam. He then offered two prostrations and then again turned to say the salam. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, "When anyone among you is doubtful that whether he has prayed three rak'ah or four, he should try to base his decision about which he is more sure and leave aside what is doubtful. He should then offer two prostrations before the salam. If ultimately he has prayed five rak'ah, these prostrations will make them into an even number, and if he has prayed four, then these prostrations will become a source of humiliation for Satan. If a prayer leader makes a mistake and does not realize it, the follower should correct him. For this, the sunnah prescribed is that they shall say, Subhanallah. If women do not prefer to raise their voice for correction, they should correct him by striking one hand on the other." The Prophet ﷺ similarly said, "If there is some mistake in the recital of the Quran, the listeners should sound a reminder." Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 111-112 and 192, number 684 and 1204, and Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 180-181, numbers 949 and 954, and Abu Dawud Sunan Volume 1, 236-237, number 907. Etiquette of the Prayer. The prayer is worshipping God and earnestly presenting one's supplications before Him. So where the Quran directed Muslims to safeguard the prayer, it has said, "And stand before the Almighty with great respect." Surah 2 verse 238. Following are the directives of the Prophet ﷺ that explain this verse of the Quran. Conversation should be avoided during the prayer. He has said, "The prayer is only glorifying the Almighty and declaring His sovereignty and reciting the Quran, and no one is allowed to converse in any way during it." Reference Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 218-219, number 1199. Zayd ibn Arqam says, "Previously we used to converse with one another during the prayer, but after the revelation of Surah 2 verse 238, we were stopped from it and we were told to pray in silence." Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, "When we used to say the salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the prayer, he would reply. However, when we returned from the land of King Negus, he did not reply to our salam. We inquired, 'O Prophet of God, you used to respond to the salam.' He replied, 'One can only have a single involvement in the prayer.'" Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 651, number 3875, and Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 219, number 1201. "One should not look here and there in the prayer. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the mother of the believers, says, 'When I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about it, he replied, "This is like Satan snatching the prayer away from a person." Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ severely admonished people for looking towards the sky. He is reported to have said, "What is the matter with people that they raise their eyes during the prayer towards the sky? They should refrain from this. Otherwise, there is a possibility that their eyes shall be snatched away." Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 122, number 750, and Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 183, number 967. The prayer should be offered with complete calmness and serenity. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, "What is it that I see you raising your hands the way the tails of unruly horses are raised? Remain calm during the prayer." Reference Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 183, number 968. During the prayer, hair and clothes should be not tampered with. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, "I have been directed to prostrate myself on seven limbs and to not tuck my clothes and hair during the prayer." Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 132, number 812, and Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 202, number 1096. There should not be anything in front of the prayer place which can become a source of distraction. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu had hung a curtain in the house. When the Prophet saw it, he asked her, "Remove it, because the pictures imprinted on it will keep coming before me during the prayer." Reference Al-Bukhari al-Jamil Sahih 67, number 374. If food is at hand, then one should eat it and then calmly offer the prayer, so that one is not thinking of food during the prayer and is in fact thinking of prayer during food. The same directive was given by the Prophet ﷺ if a person feels a call of nature. He is reported to have said, "If food is in front of you, or one feels like urinating or defecating, one should not offer the prayer." Reference Muslim al-Jami'il Sahih 226, number 1246. If a person is compelled to do something during the prayer, then one should not prolong it. It has been narrated that a person was leveling the mud at the place of prostration. When the Prophet ﷺ saw him, he said, "If you had to do it, you should have done it once only." Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami'il Sahih 192, number 1207, and Muslim Al-Jami'il Sahih 222, number 1219. While standing in prayer, a person should not place his hands on his hips, and while sitting, he should not take support. The Prophet ﷺ has stopped us from this. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami'il Sahih 195, number 1219, and Muslim Al-Jami'il Sahih 222, number 1218, and Abu Dawud Sunan, Volume 1, 247 and 259, numbers 947 and 992. Yawning should be refrained from during the prayer. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, "If any one of you feels like yawning during the prayer, he should try to control it as far as possible, otherwise he should place a hand on his mouth." Reference Muslim al-Jami'il Sahih 1294, numbers 7491 and 7493. A person should be decently and appropriately dressed while praying. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that if there is only one cloth, it should not be worn in a manner that some of its portion is not on the shoulder. He has similarly said that Allah does not accept the prayer of mature women who do not wear a cloak during the prayer. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami'il Sahih 64, number 359, and Muslim Al-Jami'il Sahih 211, number 1151, and Abu Dawud Sunan, Volume 1, 170, number 641, and Ibn Hibban Sahih 540, number 1711. The above-mentioned etiquette relates to the external form of the prayer. There are some inner etiquette too, which every Muslim should observe. They are: one should not be lazy and sluggish during the prayer. This is a very common form of negligence in the prayer, and a person who is guilty of it is neither able to be punctual in his prayer nor vigilant in offering the prayer in congregation. Similarly, a person also is not able to focus his attention towards the Almighty during the prayer. Its apparent reasons can be many. For example, sleep can be one of its causes. Likewise, preoccupation and worldly involvements can cause laziness. However, if one reflects deeply, its real reason is found within the heart of a person, and every Muslim should try his best to remove it. In the words of Imam Amin as-Sanislahi, the measures which can be adopted for this are: the first thing is that one should fully understand the importance which the prayer has in Islam. The prayer is the first manifestation of faith. The first thing that originates from faith is the prayer, and then it is from the prayer that the rest of Islam originates. The foremost pillar among the pillars on which the edifice of Islam rests is the prayer. So, if anyone raises this pillar to ground, it is as if he has raised to ground the whole structure of Islam. The companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered the prayer to be the distinction between belief and disbelief. The Caliph Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had directed his administrators and representatives that their greatest responsibility is showing vigilance to the prayer. A person who is negligent to the prayer will be even more negligent to the rest of the directives of Islam. Since the source and fountainhead of Islam is the prayer, hence if one has to adhere to religion, he must foremost adhere to the prayer. By adhering to the prayer, he actually is able to adhere to the rest of religion. If he shows laziness in prayer or is indifferent to it, he breaks all bounds set by religion and hands over his reins to base desires. About the people of the book, the Quran says that their negligence to the prayer led them to lewdness and vulgarity. It must also be kept in consideration that each part of religion has a status which the Almighty Himself has ascertained. Something which has been regarded as a pillar of religion is nevertheless a pillar. Unless it is erected, the edifice of religion will not be erected. If a person does not adhere to the prayer and is involved in welfare work, all his efforts are in vain as regards adopting religion is concerned, because he is constructing a building that has no foundation. Just as nothing can replace the foundations of a building, similarly nothing can replace the role of the prayer in religion. It is to make people comprehend this reality that it is narrated in a hadith that the optional prayers of a person will not be accepted until he offers the obligatory ones. The second thing which is necessary to curb laziness is that a person should try to become vigilant in remembering God. This means that as soon as a person hears the adhan, he should leave everything aside and start preparing for the prayer and get ready to go to the mosque. Slackness should not be displayed in this preparation. In fact, it should bear the mark of vigor and liveliness. Just as a dutiful servant is always ready to receive the directive of his master, and as soon as he hears his voice, he rushes to his presence, leaving aside everything, in the same manner, a person should attend to the prayer as soon as he hears the adhan. It should be kept in mind that at the time of the prayer, the most important and foremost obligation in the eyes of God is to offer it. Except for compelling circumstances in which a person might have a reason, in no other circumstances can some task be given any preference over the prayer, even if it concerns religion. If for some period a person makes it a point to attend to the prayer as soon as he hears the adhan, there is all the probability that the Almighty will help him by making this a habit for him, and he is able to get rid of this malady of laziness regarding the prayer. The Prophet ﷺ has suggested an excellent remedy to do away with the laziness caused by sleep. No doubt it is really a difficult thing to overcome as long as a person dallies around while lying in bed. However, as soon as he shows resolve and gets up from the bed, remembers the Almighty, does the wudu and offers the prayer, his laziness and lethargy gradually turn into vigor and vitality until he reaches a stage that he no longer has any desire to sleep. In fact, the desire which does remain in him is that why was not he able to acquire this bliss of remaining awake earlier on? It should be remembered that a person will never regret sacrificing his sleep for the prayer. After a small period of this struggle against sleep, the remembrance of the bliss of remaining awake becomes so dominant in a person that it wakes him up from the deepest of slumbers. Reference Amin Hasan Islahi, Tazkiya-e-Nafs, 250-252. The prayer should be protected from latent thoughts and suggestions that keep bombarding a person. Everyone knows that it is not easy to remain shielded from them. The reason for this is that Satan is the enemy of the prayer to the same extent as the Almighty is pleased with it. Thus, he launches his onslaught on the heart and mind of a person as soon as a person begins the prayer. Imam Amin Hasan Islahi, while delineating the various measures to counter the onslaught of Satan, writes, "A general remedy for this is that as soon as a person witnesses such a situation, he should seek refuge with Allah and should resolve to complete the prayer and show vigilance in it, much like the person who has been informed of an imminent enemy attack, but he has made up his mind to complete his prayer, come what may, and will become indifferent to such latent suggestions. Sometimes it is this resolve and enthusiasm which destroys the spell woven by Satan. The second thing which becomes effective in this matter is that he should say the words of the prayer in an audible manner and is able to give attention to their meanings. However, it is essential that one must not say them so loudly that others who may be offering the prayer nearby get disturbed. This becomes very helpful in combating such latent murmurs of Satan. When a person's mind is focused on meanings of the prayer, he is greatly protected from such onslaughts. The third thing which becomes very effective in this regard is that in general life also one should try to keep one's thoughts very pure. One should try to always think about things which are beneficial to him and to others in both worldly and religious affairs. One should keep in mind that the handmill of one's mind keeps churning. If he inputs pure raw material in it, it will keep crushing it and produce high-quality flour. On the other hand, there are the evil suggestions of Satan. As soon as he gets the opportunity, he throws a handful of stones and pebbles in it, and the handmill starts grinding them, and this really hampers its working. If this mishap occurs frequently, the handmill starts to malfunction and is unable to churn out pure flour. The best of grains will produce substandard flour. A person who has endeavored hard to generally keep his thoughts clean will encounter less evil whisperings from Satan because he will find the spiritual fodder in the prayer, which he is generally used to, and if certain thoughts do disturb him, they are not as improper so as to contradict the objective of the prayer. Sometimes, a person as near to God as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would find his prayer being invaded with distractive thoughts. At times, during the prayer, he would think of arranging his armies busy fighting in Persia and Syria. A person can object that even such preoccupation distracts a person during the prayer. No doubt, this is a distraction, but there is tremendous difference between getting distracted by evil thoughts and by thoughts which are primarily pure and needed. Reference Abid 253-254. A person should fully understand and pay full attention to whatever he says in the prayer. The utterances of the prayer delineated earlier consist of celebrating the praises of the Lord, expressing His sovereignty and majesty, beseeching Him, and to top these all reciting Surah Fatiha and some portion of the Quran. The relationship between Surah Fatiha and the Quran is that of a supplication, and its response and the order in which these utterances occur in a prayer show that they remind us that the very first thing which should be asked from the Almighty in this world is His guidance, and it is only the Quran which provides guidance now till the Day of Judgment. Imam Amin Hassan Islahi writes, "This Surah Fatiha is the greatest supplication that a person can think of in this world. This supplication has been taught to us by the Almighty Himself. A better way of asking from the Almighty than what is expressed in the surah cannot even be imagined, and nothing better than what He asks in this prayer can be imagined either. The Almighty Himself has taught us the right way to ask from Him, and has also informed us of what to ask from Him. When the prelude to what is being asked is also correct, and what is being asked is also befitting, and is something which can be asked only from whom it is being asked, and the bestower is the most gracious of all, then what doubt remains that it will not be granted?" Reference Ibid 246. After this, he has written about the recital of the Quran in the following words: "It is the inimitability of the Quran that whichever of its portion one reads. Featured in it is the basic message of this divine book. Mentioned every now and then is the true comprehension of the Almighty, the way one should lead one's life, the hereafter, and the reward and punishment which will take place in it. The only thing is that the style and manner would be different. At one place, something is said in legal style. At another, one will find the Quran earnestly urging the believers to adopt something. At some instances, tales and anecdotes would be narrated to drive the point home, while in some verses one would find effective parables to convey the meaning. Similarly, at some places, people would be asked in a polite and gentle way, and at others, they would be threatened because of their misdeeds. However, this much is certain, that whatever portion is read, even if it constitutes three verses, one would find that it contains a very powerful and effective reminder of what is really required to keep oneself on the right path." Reference Ibid 248. It is apparent from the above discussion that it is essential that one must understand what he utters during the prayer. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, "A person who prays whispers to his Lord, thus he should know what he is whispering." Reference Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Musnad, Volume 2, 122, number 4909. Imam Amin Hassan Islahi writes, "One should not think that there is no need to reflect on the surahs and supplications every day when they are read repeatedly in every prayer, and that understanding them once is enough. Those who hold this view are not aware of the essence of the prayer and its supplications. The prayer is not offered to increase one's knowledge, it is offered to renew one's pledge with the Almighty and to seek help, guidance, and mercy from Him. How can this purpose be achieved by offering it without knowing what one is uttering unless a person is not attentive?" Reference Amin Hassan Islahi, Tazkiyah-e-Nafs 256. "One should take care that the prayer does not become a pretentious display. This is the most common and most dangerous affliction of the prayer. In the words of Islahi, the reason that this is the most common affliction is that there are so many variations in being showy of the prayer that even the most careful of persons is unable to ward off its attack from his prayer. Similarly, in his opinion, it is the most dangerous because sincerity is a prerequisite of the prayer, and showing off is opposite to sincerity. In his opinion, two things are required for its remedy." He writes, "One of them is that a person should be well aware of the various forms of pomposity and showing off. Books such as Ghazali's Ihya al-Ulum are very useful in making a person aware of these forms. It is only after knowing something thoroughly that one is able to check it and get rid of it if he wants to. Whereas this awareness is required by the common man, it is required much more by scholars of Islam and the pious. The reason is that pomposity seldom manifests itself through worldly affairs. It often comes in the guise of religiosity, and such are its alluring forms and types that the greatest of scholars and religious pundits end up being its targets, and at times, lose their religiosity and piety they attained in their life. The second thing that is an effective remedy for this affliction is the tahajjud prayer. The prayer is offered alone at night, and it is very taxing for oneself. It has been emphasized that one should keep it a secret. Thus, those who only pray to brag and show off never find the strength to offer the tahajjud prayer. Only those people are able to find the strength to offer it who are either miles away from pomposity or are fully aware of its evils, and in order to save themselves from these evils, have found refuge in this prayer. The Tahajjud prayer is the most effective remedy of this affliction, as long as a person is able to maintain its secrecy. There are people who even brag and show off their Tahajjud prayer. Either they start advertising this in the guise of various insinuating statements, or their students and disciples do this job for them. In such circumstances, not only is this prayer of no use as a remedy, it helps a person even more in his tendency of showing off. Reference Ibid 258. If the prayer is offered while giving due consideration to these etiquette, then in the words of Islahi, it is characterized by the following. When a person stands in prayer, he is an embodiment of humility. With hands tied, eyes lowered, neck bending downwards, feet placed adjacent, he stands while being cut off totally from his surroundings. Dignity and honor seem personified in him. He is a portrait of silence and seriousness. At times, he kneels before his Lord, and at others, places his forehead and nose on the ground, and sometimes spreads his hand in prayer. In short, whatever forms of humility that can be adopted are with dignity and honor adopted by a person who stands to pray. The picture which thus emerges of this person bears clear evidence that he is observing his Lord, and if this is not the case, he knows for sure that the Lord is observing him. It is this prayer which can be termed as a pinnacle among prayers. This prayer is entirely different from the prayer offered with the juristic mind. It is this prayer which is in fact required for the purification of the soul. This prayer is a reflection of a person's inner self. In this prayer is reflected the humility and servility for the Almighty present within his heart. Not only is his back bent in the prayer, his heart is also bent before the Almighty. Not only does his forehead touch the ground, his soul also prostrates before the Lord of the worlds. Reference Ibid 244-245. The Friday Prayer. On Fridays, it has been made incumbent upon Muslims to pray in congregation at the time of Dhuhr prayer and in place of it. The way prescribed by the Sharia for this prayer is the following. There are two rakat of this prayer. In contrast with a Dhuhr prayer, the recital shall not be silent. The ikama shall be said before the prayer. Before the prayer leader shall deliver two sermons to remind and urge people about various teachings of Islam. He shall deliver these sermons while standing. The prayer leader shall sit for a short while after he ends the first sermon and then stand up to deliver the second one. The adhan for the prayer shall be recited when the prayer leader reaches the place where he is to deliver the sermon. As soon as the adhan is said, it is incumbent upon all Muslim men to leave all their involvements and come to the mosque if they have no legitimate excuse. The sermon shall be delivered, and the prayer shall be led by the rulers of the Muslims, and this prayer shall be offered only at places which have been specified by them, or where a representative of theirs is present to lead the prayer. The Quran has mentioned this prayer in the following words. Believers, when you are summoned to Friday prayer, hasten to the remembrance of God and cease your trading. This is best for you if you but knew it. Then, when the prayer ends, disperse and go your ways in quest of God's bounty, and keep remembering God a lot so that you may prosper. Surah 62 verses 9-10. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has directed those who lead the prayer to shorten the sermon and prolong the prayer. He has said that it is enough for a person to be sensible if he has this trait. Reference Muslim al-Jami'ah Sahih 348-349, number 2009. It is evident from certain narratives that for reminding and counseling people, and for the purpose of collective worship, it was this day that had in reality been fixed in the religion of the prophets. According to historians, before the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Qab ibn Luyi or Qusayyi ibn Kilab would also assemble the people of Quraysh on this day. Reference Ibn Manzur, Lisan al-Arab, Volume 8, Number 58. Regarding the selection of this day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that it was on this day that Adam was created, and on this day was he put in the orchard, and on this day was he cast out, and the day of judgment will also be a Friday. Reference Muslim al-Jami' al-Sahih 343, number 1977. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said that there comes a time in this day in which the Almighty grants a rightful wish of a believer. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jamil Sahih 150, number 935, and Muslim Al-Jamil Sahih 342 to 343, numbers 1969, 1970, and 1975. Consequently, he warned people that if they do not come for the Friday prayer, their hearts shall be sealed and indifference shall overcome them. Reference Muslim Al-Jamil Sahih 347, number 2002. On the other hand, the Prophet ﷺ has given glad tidings to people who take a bath, fully cleanse themselves, are befittingly adorned and attired, try not to pierce and sit between two people, pray whatever they can at the beckoning of the Almighty, and sit silently to listen to the sermon of the prayer leader. Glad tidings that the Almighty will forgive the sins they have committed between the two Fridays. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jamil Sahih 142, number 883. He also said that on Friday, angels stand at the door of the mosques and write the names of people in order of their entry to the mosques. Consequently, those who come very early are similar to a person who has sent a camel for sacrifice, then he who sends a cow for this purpose, and then he who sends a sheep for this purpose, and then a hen, and then an egg. Then once the prayer leader comes to deliver his sermon, they fold their scrolls and listen to his advice and counsel. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jamil Sahih 142, number 881, and Muslim Al-Jamil Sahih 342, number 1964.